Welcome to London, Roger. It's been the first time in, 3.5 years since Supertramp have played here, hasn't it?
Yeah, end of 79 was when we were here last.
Right. Why has it been so long? I know that you spend a long time recording albums, and I'm sure you have other commitments touring-wise around the world, but Britain is where you came from. Why have you left it so long?
Well, it's not just Britain, really. After the last gruelling tour of the world in 1979, where we played 120 shows over a nine-month period, we were just burned out, and it was the first chance we'd had in 9-10 years of having a home life, and I think we all really felt like, okay, let's stop for a while. Certainly the feeling in the band, the feeling at the end of the tour was we were just exhausted and pretty burned out on Supertramp as a whole. Mm. Certainly I was, and I needed a break, and we weren't quite sure what was going to happen from that time onwards. So we just went our separate ways and settled down. I had two children come along. Bob, the drummer, had children come along. And basically we got into a home life. And when it came time to see what we wanted to do with our lives, what we wanted to do with Supertramp, it was 2 years later. And we came together and decided to have another shot at making an album. But by that time, we'd all really got into such different lifestyles. I'd moved 500 miles away to Northern California, so it was very difficult to feel like we were still a group again. And but anyway, we did Famous Last Words, and it was a pretty difficult album to make, a difficult experience.
One of the projects that you've been involved in is building your own studio back home. So you weren't just going home to have babies, you were actually working on something that I would imagine will affect your future as a solo artist now.
Yeah, that took... Actually, I totally forgot about that. That actually consumed my life for a whole year, building a studio. Mm. I moved to Northern California and as well as buying a house, built a studio, which I wouldn't recommend to anyone. However, I built it, and that's where we did most of Famous Last Words.
You mentioned that there's been a break of about 2 years in the time that you've been apart, going to your various homes and having babies and taking a break from touring commitments, which you've been doing for a number of years now. The musical climate in that 2 years has changed quite dramatically, particularly in Britain, and its effect on American music. How do you see Supertramp fitting into that now? I mean, maybe stepping back to Famous Last Words, the last album that you released, how was that affected by the changing scene musically?
Well, I feel Famous Last Words wasn't a progression from Breakfast in America. It was a very frustrating album to make. It far didn't come up to the expectations that we all had for it. I know the songs that were lying around that didn't make it on the album, some much more powerful songs and much more potent songs than actually did make it on the album. So it was a real disappointment for me, that album. I think the sound was out of date. And I don't think it was a real progression from Breakfast in America. I really, as much as I don't like actually most of the music that I hear being made, it doesn't really do much for me. It's like a, it's kind of like a, there's very little substance to it, to most of what I hear at the moment. I do like the new sounds that are being used and the new approaches that are being used. I'm glad people are starting to break out of the old rock and roll mold of, you know, bass, drums and guitar.
Looking at Supertramp as a group, now, when you went back home to your various homes, I wonder if there's a danger, and looking at another group that have been equally successful, sort of part American, part British band as well, Fleetwood Mac. Now, when they got to the state of success that they got at, they lived apart, they didn't really relate, talk to each other, work together, although they did in the early days. And I wonder if that was why you felt the way you did about Supertramp and why you decided to leave, because you didn't feel that there was any harmony left now. You weren't really working together as a group.
Well, one of the things that happens when you get successful is you get financial independence. And that's always the biggest test that a band can face is that period in its life. And it was exactly the same for us. We didn't have to work for a while, so we went became independent and did our own thing for a while, and that does tend to split you up when you're all struggling and you're really relying on each other financially and for your living and everything else, then you really do pull together.
Your remarks about famous last words and that maybe you're dissatisfied with the end product makes a point about your own songwriting in a way, because you're responsible for half of the songs that are on it. Mm-hmm. Is it a comment about your own abilities as well as the finished product of, say, Rick's songs, and as well as the band and the production?
It's a comment on the choice of my songs. I have a pool of over 70 songs waiting to go on albums, go on record, and I wasn't happy with the choice of songs. Ironically, I never wanted It's Raining Again on the album. I was kind of blackmailed into that one. I know it's done very well, but I don't think it did the musical image, if you like, of the band any good. It was a very lightweight pop song, and it's great for what it is, but it's after 4 years, you know, you'd think we could come with something with a bit more meat to it. And that's what frustrated me. And especially when I knew that there was a lot of meat that didn't get on the album that was what we wanted to when we started out making the album.
For people that don't know that much intimately about Supertramp, they'll always have assumed that the songwriting was like Lennon and McCartney. It was a duo effort. But in point of fact, it hasn't been that way for most of the life of the group, except in the early days, right?
Yeah, Crime of the Century was probably the last collaboration, writing-wise. And then we both became stronger as writers. We both started becoming more different as people and started writing about different things. And since then, it's really become... It's been totally separate.
How do you decide who's going to write which songs, or rather, not who's going to write which songs, but which songs are going to be included on the album? You said, for example, that you've got over 70 songs written and ready to record. Now, when you decide which songs you want to put on the album, how does Rick decide whether to agree with you or not?
Well, it's really... We look at the album as a whole and try and pick the 9 or 10 songs that go together as a theme or a mood or just fit together. And that's, I think, that's what became most difficult, finding the songs of Rick's and the songs of mine that matched each other. And it came to a point where the only ones that did were the lighter songs. And that's what Famous Last Words was.
Mm. You always tend to alternate the songwriting as well. If you start off the first side, then he may start off the second side. Why do you do that? I mean, is it because you actually think and believe that the songs are that different that you need that kind of contrast?
It's just the contrast. I think I sing a song, he sings a song, I sing a song. We're very, very different, and we have a different effect. Our songs have different effect on people, and it's always worked. That has been the main strength of the band, having the two different styles and being constantly taken from one style to the other. It's never got boring.
Musically, you've written songs about life, the complexities of life, if you like. Mm-hmm. I guess before Supertramp emigrated to America in the 70s, you would have had the opportunity of making more social commentaries then, because you were on the way up. Now that you've mm-hmm. got your financial independence, I wonder how difficult it is for you to write songs about ordinary life. I mean, do you see it through a TV screen now rather than out on the street?
There's always that danger. All you can do is try and keep in touch with it, because once you have your own house, whoever it is, I mean, anyone who has his own house suddenly has their own world. And it's very easy to isolate yourself. That is another trap that comes with success. Mm. Success is full of traps, believe me.
Let's talk a bit about the stage show for this 1983 tour, which takes you through Europe. I believe you've done Europe already, British dates, and then back to America for the rest of the summer. What kind of concert tour is it? Is it different or similar to previous Supertramp tours?
Now, this is the biggest tour we've ever done, in Europe especially. We're playing to the largest audience we've ever played. We're playing outdoor football stadiums. And it's very different. Actually, I'm enjoying it more than any other tour I've ever done. It's the first time we've actually seen the audience, which is fantastic. Usually we've got lights blinding us, and most of the shows are starting in the daylight. We've just played to 80,000 people in Paris, which was quite an experience. Being able to see just this waves of people going off in the distance was just incredible.
Now, you recorded an album in Paris, Double Live, I believe. So in a way, there must have been a lot of nostalgia both in the group and with the audience when you played there recently.
Yes, we have a special, really special relationship with the French. I don't know why, but they seem to have taken us into their hearts, and it was a very, very high emotional evening.
As a group, do you still see yourselves? I know that you're about to go off to do a solo thing, but for the moment you're still in Supertramp. Do you still feel that you're British, or have you actually left all of that behind? You certainly have an English accent, and Graham Nash doesn't.
I kind of see myself as mid-Atlantic.
What about the politics of this country, though? I mean, it's changed a lot since you've been in America, and the climate here's changed, music's changed here. I mean, how do you feel? Do you feel as if you've got a relationship with this country now, or do you feel as if you've left it entirely?
Well, I haven't been here for 4 years. It's difficult to really... And things are changing so fast, and not just here, everywhere in the world. And I'm more up on American politics than I am here, so I wouldn't like to comment on what's happening here. It's very interesting seeing what the Americans make of what's happening here, reading the American papers, which I'm sure isn't exactly what is happening here.
We were talking a minute ago about the live concerts, and I asked you about the type of concert that it was. You talked simply more about the size of the concerts. Now, I know you take a very important role in production and songwriting, and also the live performance. How do you get involved in that? I mean, where do you actually start? What do you do that makes a Supertramp concert unique?
Well, I've been very involved in the light show in particular, and all the film footage we've used. And that's basically the visual spectacle of a Supertramp show. We've always had pretty elaborate lighting designs. The sound has really been left to Russell Pope, our concert sound engineer. And on this tour, we've just gone all out to get the best we can get. And it's a very, very expensive show, I can tell you.
Yes, the economics of concerts are now... very slim. I mean, you're actually talking about making very small profits if you're lucky. Mm-hmm. And particularly with a major group like yourselves, if there's Rod Stewart and David Bowie out on the road as well, you're all mm-hmm. sharing the gates at those particular concerts now, aren't you?
Yeah. We've been following David Bowie around the world, around Europe anyway. There's a lot of people out on the road. One of the reasons is that that's about the only place that people can make any money anymore. Mm. I know that we have a very, very... It's really risky. You only have to have one show that does badly and bang goes your profits. And we have a very, very expensive show. We have over 100 people out there on the road. And that's a lot of mouths to feed. Mm. And we're not going to make too much out of this tour. But we're having a lot of fun.
Well, it brings... me to the next stage of this interview, and that is to talk about you as a solo artist. Now, you've decided to leave Supertramp. Why?
I think it's time for a change. I've been with Supertramp for 13 years, and Famous Last Words wasn't a progression for me or for the band, and it really told us that something had to break. I actually should have left Supertramp after the Breakfast in America tour, because that's when I wanted to leave. That's when I felt like things had to happen, and I needed to grow and expand musically and personally, but it didn't happen. We made Famous Last Words, and that really compounded the problem for me, and I just feel like I want to work with other musicians. I need to grow and expand and get into new things.
What about your relationship with Rick? Because you've worked together, more songwriters, or not so much collaborated, but mm-hmm. Been sympathetic to each other's songwriting. What about that relationship? Is it one that has come to its end personally, or are you still very fond of each other?
Now, there'll always be a real deep love there, and a deep level of understanding too. We have a lot of difficulty. We always have had communicating verbally, and we've never really socialized except in the early days. But I think that's the healthiest thing that can happen for us too, is to get divorced so we can be friends again.
Well, let's talk specifically about your solo career now. You want to work with other musicians. I wonder what you have up your sleeve. You've written lots of songs which may or may not have been for Supertramp originally. Mm-hmm. Are they now going to become part of your solo repertoire?
Maybe. I'd like to not hang on to my past too much. I have a wealth of songs waiting to go on record. Ironically, I think most of my best songs are waiting to go on record. A lot of my more sensitive songs couldn't be used for Supertramp, because really I had to choose songs for Supertramp that suited a saxophone and suited the rhythm section that is Supertramp. And so a lot of them had to wait and have been waiting for 10, 12 years. So I'm excited at getting some of them out. Plus, the music I'm writing now is very, very more, very, very exciting. Has a lot of new ideas rhythmically and a lot more energy. And I'm really feeling like, especially with the dance craze that's happening, people are really needing rhythm and energy and excitement, but not your hip, not your kind of brain-numbing, mindless kind of rhythm patterns that I'm hearing on the radio. It needs to be something a bit more innovative and a bit more have a bit more depth.
Sharing your songwriting in Supertramp with Rick is one responsibility, but to do it as a solo artist when it's on your head and it's in your name and not in the name of a group is quite another. Does that present you with a problem? Do you worry about that at all?
No, I don't. I would like to work with other artists, but I've always seen myself as a solo artist within a band. Rick has always seen himself as a band man, a band person. I obviously enjoy working with group musicians and playing with other musicians. I mean, there's nothing like it. But I've always really seen myself as a solo artist within a group. Most of the arrangements were mine, and I in fact played most of a lot of the instruments on my songs, even on Supertramp albums. So that really has been the situation for quite a few years.
I'd expect, because Supertramp have their own sound, and as you say, when you wrote songs, you wrote them for the sax parts or for the rhythm section, so there was a distinct sound. Much like, mm-hmm. Say, a group like 10cc mm-hmm. would have had their own sound. So how hard do you think it will be to actually get away from that? Will it be literally just a case of getting different musicians to interpret your songs differently, or will you have to do something more than that?
Yeah, I think it's finding different chemistries with different musicians will bring about different energies in the music, if you like. But also, I'd like to experiment with different drum patterns. I think that the use of the drum kit has got very, very boring. I'm glad to see, in England especially, the use of these syndrums and stuff, and people standing up playing drums, for example. There are a lot of patterns that rock and roll is really... has become very, very stifling, I feel. And I'd like to use bass and drums and just the whole approach to music very differently.
I know you're working on the ideas for an album. I believe the title is called Sleeping with the Enemy. Why that title?
Well, that's a line from one of the songs. And I think it's a line that's going to get a lot of... spur a lot of conversation. Who is the enemy? That's probably your next question.
Well, I thought about that, and I thought maybe you were sleeping with Supertramp. In other words, that they, in a sense, were a musical enemy of yours from the past, and that maybe the change going into your solo career is really what that title's about, looking back more than looking forward.
Not really. I don't really see Supertramp as my enemy. I see stagnation and complacency that success brings. That is one of the enemies that I'm facing.
What sort of songs have you got in the can, as it were? Haven't you got to that stage yet with the album?
Yeah, I've recorded 8 songs. I'm going to go back and record some more and re-record some of those. I tried to blitz the project and get it finished before this tour, to have it out for this tour, but in listening to the results, I'm not quite happy with them.
That would be unusual for you anyway, given that, say, Supertramp spend upwards of 2 years sometimes recording albums. I would have thought something as important as this for you, and a major change in your life as far as a writer of music is concerned, you'd want to spend at least that much time on it.
I wouldn't like to. If I have to, I will. But there has to be a quicker way to keep the quality and yet get the same results. And I really believe it's in the commitment and the energy you put into a project. Because one of the criticisms of Supertramp, and I do agree with it over the years, is that the lack of spontaneity on record. And I really want to put more spontaneity back into the music and more life, and keep the fun aspect high, which you really lose sight of when you take 6, 7, 8 months over a project.
When do you expect to release the album?
I'm aiming for early 1984.
And are you planning to go on tour once that's released?
Maybe. It depends if I can pull together a group that I feel like I want to go out with. I might do 2 albums before I go on the road.
Are there any particular individuals that you would like to play with, not necessarily be able to because of their commitments, but are there any musicians in America or in Britain or elsewhere that you would very much like to play with?
There are a lot of musicians I'd like to meet, a lot of musicians I respect and I'd like to meet, and I'd like to meet Peter Gabriel. I think I love what he's doing. He has a real innovative approach, which I love. Phil Collins, I'd love to work with. Naming names has got me in trouble before, so I'm not going to name too many.
Well, looking back for a moment before your departure, how has that affected Supertramp as a band? Because they're going to stay together, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they intend to go back in the studios after this tour and record an album. They know it's going to be a totally different group, obviously, because I'm the most recognised voice of Supertramp. And without that, it's going to sound like a very different group. I know the songs that Rick has, and they're very, very good. And I think they're going to do very, very well. But they realise they're kind of starting again as well.
Now, of course, you shared songwriting abilities and responsibilities on the previous albums. It'll be on his head this time, though, to write, I guess, all of the album, will it? Or will he get someone else in?
Probably he'll write all himself. I don't think they even thought that far yet. Mm. It's going to be a real challenge for him. But I think he's ready for it. He's ready to blossom in his way, too. I'm very excited for him.
There have been some slight changes in lineup in the band. In fact, the first lineup changed since 74, I guess, with 2 additional members that are playing with you at the moment. Mm-hmm. Are they going to stay in the group after you leave?
I don't think so. I think they're just here for the tour.
Mm. Well, finally, let's just look at the future and your future in particular, because that's why we're talking more about you as a solo artist and the thing you're embarking on. What do you look forward to the most in the things that you'll be doing in 83, 84?
Well, I just feel really excited about where the whole music industry is at the moment. I feel like we're on the verge of real explosions in all the different areas of the music industry. It's doing so badly now that something has to break. And I really think it's a time for pioneers in all the different areas of the music industry to come in and just lead the way. I think rock and roll has really got trapped in a format, and that needs to break out. The whole record companies are trapped. They're trapped by either being too big and unwieldy, big corporations. It's nice to see young independent labels starting up and spurning new talent, which the big record companies don't seem to be able to do anymore because their economics don't allow it. Records are fast becoming out of date. I mean, within 5 years, probably the records will be dinosaurs. I mean, there's so many changes. It's a very exciting time.
On a personal level, though, as we get older, we get into careers and we establish ourselves and with our homes and families, etc. Mm-hmm. Very little major things happen to us in our lives. Maybe we move house or we change jobs. But essentially, mm-hmm. by the age of 30, most folks have established themselves. You've made a dramatic change in your life, which in mm-hmm. a sense must be good. It's a sort of rejuvenation for you, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I don't think music has anything to do with age. If you want to be a teen idol and a sex symbol, then it does. But if you want to be a musician, then you should be making better music when you're 50. If you keep your life together, then you were when you were 30. And I intend to be. And I'm just really excited at new challenges and new prospects.